Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have ever used for anything? It's actually many of you. I have a piece of advice for you if you ever have, ever do, or ever will use it. And that is this. Any website you ever go to, don't read the comments. That is my advice to you. Is when you go to a website and there's the opportunity for people to give feedback about that page, about the article, about whatever, don't read the comments. It's not worth it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the comments on a web page are kind of like the letter to the editor in a newspaper, except with absolutely no filter. Meaning anyone who wants to can say anything they want about that article with predictable results. The comment section of your average web page is filled with backseat drivers, Monday morning quarterbacks, people who, despite or whatever experiences they have had, simply know better in their mind than whoever has written that which they are commenting on. At this point in my life, I am happy to say that I have perfected the art of reading the internet without reading comments. It takes some practice, but I have discovered that I am a much happier person when I do that. I'll give you some context for today's reading. Most of you know it, or many of you do, but just in case. The Israelites today, we find them a month and a half after they have left Egypt, after they have left the bonds of slavery in Egypt through Moses and Aaron's leadership. They have been freed from Pharaoh, and they are on their way home. If only we had died in Egypt, when we sat and ate our fill of meat and bread, for you have brought us into the wilderness, into the desert, to kill us with hunger. You failed, Moses. You did this to us on purpose, Aaron. You didn't want us to be fat and subjugated in Egypt. You wanted us to be dead in the wilderness. It would have been better for us if you had never said anything. You ever did? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Why don't you stop and ask for directions already? I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. I'm car sick. It's like a miniature version of the comments section of your average web page. Israelites today, we find them to be incredibly ungrateful. They've been freed from slavery. They know God's promise, but they are very ungrateful. And frankly, they're really annoyingly whiny. I can only imagine poor Moses and Aaron just basically thinking to themselves, oh, for crying out loud, just be quiet. I'm trying to, shut up, I'm trying to think over here. This is, yes, you're hungry. Yes, I know you, please. I'm trying to, okay. What does God do? I'm honestly asking. I know you know the answer. What does God do in the face of this? God provides. I have heard their complaints. Tonight you will have a fill of meat. Tomorrow your fill of bread. You will know that I am God. A covey of quail appear. Think about that for a second. They're in the wilderness, which you could also translate the same Hebrew word to be desert. If you think about what you think of when you think the wilderness of the Middle East, it ain't lush, people. Out of nowhere, a covey of quail appear, bountiful meat, a treat that they would not actually be accustomed to having outside of most feast days or such. More meat than they can imagine. And the next day, bread, manna. what we see here in the reading as, what is it? Or what is this? What is this? There's food everywhere. What is it? It's abundance. That's what it is. It's abundance. Abundance versus scarcity. Eat your fill versus not having enough versus hunger. Fear versus hope. My bet is that, I'm just guessing here. The odds are good that each and every one of you at some point has heard about this thing going on in our country. This shutdown thing. Anyone heard of this? Maybe? Showed up on the news somewhere? My bet is that each one of you has an opinion on the matter. Who to blame, how to solve it, how it could play out, how it should play out. I'm not here to tell you what to think. That would be pointless. You will think for yourself, you will make your own decisions. I'm not here to tell you how to vote. That would be pointless and actually illegal. But I will tell you this. We do not have a God of fear. We do not have a God of hunger. And we do not have a God of scarcity. We have a God who can, who will, and who has provided all that we need, so long as we learn to work together. So long as we work together. There are two things in that manna story, two things that happen. And we usually only notice the first part. God will provide. As I had the kids say today in the children's sermon, God will provide. That is a good and true message, very apparent in this story. But there is a second part. No one is allowed to take too much in the story. Everybody is allowed to gather enough to be satisfied. But you know what happens to the excess that is gathered? We're told that the excess spoiled and was filled with worms. I cannot tell you how tempting it is to make a joke here about spoiled worms and the whole situation, but that'd be in bad taste. There is enough for all, we are told in this story. There is enough for all, but they are called to be wise with it. We live in a nation of 313 million people, with a $16 trillion gross domestic product. $16 trillion. That averages out to $52,000 or more for every man, woman, or child in the nation every year that is produced. And yet we have 50 million people in poverty, which for a single person is defined as less than $12,000 a year, less than $1,000 a month. And we have over 50 million people in that kind of poverty. That's ridiculous. That's sinful. Pacific County, where I used to serve my first call, poverty level in that county is somewhere around 15%. For kids, it's 20%. For Chinook, the actual community in which Sarah and Tavin and I lived, Archer wasn't born yet, poverty level for children in that village, 40%. Two out of every five kids in that town live in poverty. I knew people whose septic tanks had broken. They couldn't afford to fix them, and they couldn't afford to let anyone know, because if someone knew, they would lose their home. So they would use buckets, because that's what they would do. I knew people who had turned to distributing meth as a way to make ends meet. I'm not condoning that. Don't misunderstand me. But at less than $12,000 a year, you can understand where people get desperate. here at the church. I haven't seen Billy for a while. I don't think you have either, have you, Judy? The young man who was sleeping on the stoop. For about a month and a half, maybe two this summer, we had a young man who was sleeping on the stoop outside the office complex. He'd be there every morning. We'd help him out the best that we could. And he'd go back out into the community. I remember late July or so, we had three young adults who showed up at the house because they were running away from an abusive father and the poverty of their home. Whenever I speak to Pastor Pam over at Prince of Peace, I know that they have multiple people living around the building and sleeping in their car. I've met people who bathe in the library bathroom. $16 trillion. None of that needs to happen. None of that should happen. But it does. Together we have more than enough. Together we are capable of amazing things because we have an amazing God. We have an amazing God of abundance. Not scarcity, abundance. But it's a matter of rethinking and reorganizing and reallocating resources and finding new ways to work together and communicate and trust and love. You know, that's why we do the offering here, right? People get that, I hope. The offering that happens in the middle of worship, that's not your entrance fee. That's not like the price of admission. I hope people get that. And that's not like an economic way to vote on the quality of the pastor. You know, for what it's worth. We do it because we are called to be good stewards. We are called to be good caretakers of this amazing world that this amazing God of abundance and love has given us to care for. And that includes care for others. That includes care for each other. That's what our regular offerings allow us to do, to conduct that care for each other in an organized and efficient and God-filled manner beyond what we can accomplish as individuals. As individuals, we can accomplish a lot. Please don't misunderstand me. As individuals, each one of us can accomplish so much, but together we can accomplish so much more, and we do. Think of the quilters working on a Wednesday morning. One quilter can only produce so much, but a covey of them? Far more. And not just together, but together with God? Ha! Through God, all things are possible. I cannot fix Washington, D.C. I wish I could. Sarah's heard me rant before. I really wish I could. But I can, and I will, and I do promise you that the faithfulness of God that we see in today's message is still real, is still relevant, and is still worth telling about. Of abundant love. A God of abundant love made known to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hope, and I pray, that with every breath that you take, that you see that, and that you live that. Amen.